Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, our nation's been debating about the right action that could, should, or would be taken regarding climate and environmental policy for a long time. Often pretty divisive in how we've gone about that. Different voices have different ideas about the best course of action to take. And while we all want to leave the planet in a little better condition than we found it and make it better for those who will follow after us, there's an important and crucial voice that's often missing in the big battles and the hyper-partisan rhetoric that we often see when we talk about climate and environment. And that a crucial voice is the American taxpayer. So how do we start having an kind of conversation and a better conversation to produce better outcomes? Devin Hartman is with the R Street Institute, had a great piece in the Washington Examiner today talking about the fact that taxpayers need to be included in all of this clean conversation. And Devin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So obviously Earth Week this week, it's the annual reminder of all of those things. Give us your sense in terms of where are we in this conversation and how do we get to that better conversation that does include the voice of the people as well?
Absolutely. So you teed it up very nicely. So Earth Week is usually that week where, you know, all the Greens are very excited. We're thinking about environmental stewardship and our responsibility to future generations. And then the taxpayer groups are cringing because the green agenda historically has been very antagonistic to taxpayer interests. And that's unfortunate. It doesn't have to be the case. And in fact, a lot of the secret sauce of what has been working to really reduce emissions and what will work going forward, the really key catalysts are things that actually are beneficial to taxpayer interests. Mm. So it's really about shifting the narrative from climate progress is as measured in a political proxy by how much taxpayers are forced to spend to let's focus on what mechanisms unleash private capital to solve a problem that they're already willing to go after, even without subsidies.
Yeah, and so let's dive into that because I think that's worth unpacking today because usually we get teed up with the fake fight and the false choice. You either, you know, want to put an oil rig under Delicate Arch in southern Utah, or, you know, you're just going to shut down everything and we're going to, you know, go back to no gas, no cars, no electricity, no anything. And obviously the better conversations in between. But you put forward in your piece some of the things that we have to get in there. And you alluded to one of those, which I think is real crucial, and that is dealing with the subsidizing, government subsidizing our way to deal with climate. Explain that for us.
Sure. So usually sort of like the green orthodoxy that's kind of persisted for the last couple decades is to really pick certain technologies and then either mandate it or subsidize it. And that can reduce emissions, and it used to be somewhat more effective in the past, but it always ran afoul sort of consumer taxpayer interests. But what we're seeing with market conditions moving forward is that markets are extremely motivated to deploy clean capital already. The real issue is the red tape hanging up the process here. And so what we're actually seeing is that the things that are really the drivers of clean energy, in particular in this country, it's more like a kinked hose, and subsidies really just turn up the pressure, but you're not getting much more throughput because you really have to address the bottleneck in the kinked hose. And so even just one category of regulatory reform would have more emissions reduction than the entire Inflation Reduction Act. And that was considered to be like the hallmark piece of legislation. And I think a big thing that people are starting to realize now is that legislation, which originally passed a couple of years ago, thinking, yeah, it'll be about a $370 billion hit on the clean energy side for taxpayers, but maybe it's just a one-time thing. It pushes us through this decade, and then these technologies stand on their own. But what we're actually seeing is that there's a condition in there that won't be met because of the regulatory environment being so restrictive, and that is going to put taxpayers probably on the hook for trillions of dollars, and it's mostly going to subsidize what the the private sector is trying to build anyways and oftentimes can't get regulatory approval for.
Yeah, and so often that is the case. You end up hurting the very thing you want to help, and the
exactly.
regulatory thing becomes such a big issue. And we've had several people on this show talking about how frustrated they are because they were excited about a particular kind of energy or a new technology that was emerging or a cleaner way to do something, but they can't even start because of the red tape, because of the regulation. And so a lot of these things included in the Inflation Reduction Act haven't even started because it takes years and years to get through the red tape, the regulatory, the lawsuits, and all of those things, all the while slowing down that innovation because we're subsidizing some other things at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think a big way to kind of bridge the divide here is to frame it from like a more of a moral framework. We have a responsibility to future generations to leave them with a wealthier and cleaner world. And we can only do that if we have our financial house in order and we're good stewards of the environment. And we have to be cognizant of what policy architecture delivers on that. And sometimes there's trade-offs between the two objectives, and you have to make sure the good outweighs the bad. We don't do that sometimes, but a lot of times we overlook how much bad public policy is already in place. And if we remove those impediments, we can not only drive emissions reductions much quicker, but we can also better adapt to climate change. Think of all the subsidies that we have right now in place that actually put people in harm's way. We encourage people in many cases to develop in areas that are very prone to wildfire risk or severe drought, or right in the middle of the worst path line for hurricanes. We can't be subsidizing that behavior because we're then reducing the market signal, especially in the insurance industry, to appropriately respond to that risk. And as climate change worsens, we need to make sure we're not diluting that signal from the risk. We need to make sure that the private sector has the freedom to price that risk and let individuals respond.
Yeah, so important. And I love the way you framed this in your piece at the Washington Examiner, talking about, again, it's an and conversation that we
yes.
can get the taxpayers and the environmental interests. We can have good stewardship of the land, and we can do things that are good for the American people, for the economy, and for all of those things. I want to spend just one quick minute on the subsidy piece, because I don't think we highlight that enough, that sometimes when government is picking the winners and losers by subsidizing usually organizations that have an army of lawyers and lobbyists, that we often cut out a lot of the real innovation in the market. And even on things like solar panels, you had some of that great innovation going on, but then you had this massive Solyndra piece of the puzzle and all of those subsidies. And suddenly the innovation that everybody wants for the environment actually gets slowed down because of what's happening on that front.
Exactly. The thing that we want out of the clean industries is we want them to be competing in the marketplace in a way that drives innovation, because competitive enterprise is motivated to cut costs. When you dilute that signal with subsidies, the competition that should be happening in the marketplace shifts to a competition to receive subsidies. And there's a whole new industry that's been stood up here in D.C. just to secure the massive amount of pork that the federal government is handing out here. And I can't tell you how many of the entities that are lining up with their hands out to get this funding will privately admit on the side, we don't actually need it. But obviously, we want to make sure we get it so we can report that back to our shareholders. And that's their responsibility. But guess what? The power of American industry would be much better spent not trying to milk taxpayers, but out there competing and trying to outdo their competitors by driving innovation in the economy.
Yeah.
And I'm just very excited in particular because I think it's a great way to speak to younger folks and to really get conservative folks more involved in the environmental conversation productively. And, you know, someone like John Curtis has been a really well outspoken voice on this, that there's conservative approaches to environmental improvement that are really underappreciated and areas really where a lot of good limited government pro-market folks can really lead on these issues and we can really have a lot more progress across the board.
Yeah, fantastic. Great insight. Devin Hartman is the R Street Institute's Director of Energy and Environmental Policy, and demonstrating we can have an and conversation when it comes to being careful stewards of the environment and making sure we're doing the right things, both in terms of spending, in terms of our communities, in terms of creating a better future together. Devin, thanks so much for joining us today. Great insight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Devin Hartman from the R Street Institute. And again, it's an and conversation. It's not either or. Don't buy into the fake fight and the false choice. And when we make sure that that competition is rolling, rather than rewarding the lawyers and the lobbyists and giving big companies who don't need it money that they don't need but will take just to keep the competition out of the space, if we want real clean, real green, we got to make sure we're getting that competition engine firing as well. All right, we'll step aside for one last break. Final thoughts on Inside Sources coming up next. Stick around.